What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, and this is episode 15 of season 5. We here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view and bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishniggawood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of Bewatch Niggas, a.k.a. once again for the second week in a row, Fuck 12, Justice for Makia Bryant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What M.F. stand for?
I agree with that sentiment.
Hey. I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Man Choices, a.k.a. Did You Know?
What?
I also agree with that sentiment.
And it's your boy, Jordan, a.k.a. The Outrider, a.k.a. I don't know. What do they call it in Dishonored? They call it something Constable or something like that. The Constable. I forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Constable is 12, so fuck the Constable.
Well, I hope to be the hero protagonist in that story, but we'll see. JX Bot.
All right.
All righty.
And now that we are all introduced, we're going to go. Whoa. We're going to go into what we've been playing.
Yeah, words are hard, huh?
And to start out, what you been playing, Jordan?
I just finished Outriders. I finished the core campaign and was introduced to the end game mode, which is, you know, it was a pretty. It's about as good as you can get in regards to an end game mode in terms of the theme. But the core gameplay is still there. Like, okay. Basically, you were able to bring down this ship, like one of the other ships that came with the expedition. Like, the story got all convoluted at the last point. I just, like, stopped paying attention. Like, where's the next thing I got to shoot?
Who am I supposed to shoot? Right. Just tell me.
Based on your actions, you were able to bring down this, you know, ship that was in atmosphere that has all these resources and stuff.
Oh.
And now that's scattered across the world, to which now you're leading expeditions. So, like, your expeditions are to gather all those resources and help the people and stuff like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The end game leads to a raid, essentially. Like, once you gather the target number of, like, 40,000 resources, you are then introduced to that game's raid. And there's a raid boss and all that. And then you get, like, the quote-unquote true ending. I ended the game at world level 9, but because I was playing the last boss by my side, I had to bump it down to world level 6. But I've gotten in a few legendary weapons. I think all my armor's epic. The meta in that game is pretty fun in terms of gun meta, to which I have, like, guns that, you know, shoot lightning from the sky, some guns that freeze people once you reload after switching weapons. So, like, there's some pretty fun metas in there that I am interested with exploring because I am playing this crossplay with two people that are playing it on PlayStation 5. Mm. So, you know, yeah, we're still playing it. And overall, I've had a pretty good experience. I put my final rating between a 7.5 and an 8. You know, like, it was a pretty solid game that I was able to play this spring.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So that boss, like, a lot of the stuff that I've heard when people talk about Outriders campaign, they mentioned how, like, they felt like the boss was cheap. Did you feel that same way, or was it just like, oh, this is just challenging?
Well, because the people I was playing with were at higher levels, I didn't have issues them. I mean, I played against the final boss by myself, but because I was able to rank up so high playing with the other people playing on higher worlds, the equipment and weapons that I had, you know, made the final boss fight fairly trivial, even at world level, you know, 6. So, yeah, no, it was all right. You just shot him to death.
Okay.
Shoot him in the face, and you keep running. Just don't stop moving. You know, he's like bringing tornadoes and shit down. It was a pretty, with the sound system I had, it was a pretty bombastic fight. You know, it was pretty awesome.
Okay. Oh, nice,
that's awesome.
But yeah, that's Outriders.
His neighbors are banging on the walls.
You know, my neighbors, they're quiet and they haven't complained about my stuff just yet, so that's good.
So you're saying they don't know your name?
All right, no. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I also getting my game set up. Well, my game setup's pretty solid right now, but I have the Epic Game Store and Steam and Game Pass for computer. I've played more of my Game Pass for computer games because of the Bethesda suite that's currently on there, be it the Fallouts and, you know, the Skyrims. And I decided to finally give Dishonored, based on DJ's recommendation, Dishonored a shot. I know that if I kill people, I get a bad ending, but it's kind of hard to not kill people in this game. Like, the enemy detection is very unforgiving. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, they shouldn't have fought me in the first place.
Exactly. Some people just have to die.
That's my logic. Like, is it wrong for me to just cut them in half? No. You know, you know what they did. So Dishonored, you know, it's a the first person sneaky game, kind of like BioShock and stuff like that. The same vein. Yeah, they're like the same vein of those games, but I am enjoying Game Pass for my PC. Like the games download very fast. I'm playing it in the 4K resolution. I'm playing like this one game that it was called like something Rainfall. Like this Rainfall game that came on Game Pass.
Raindrop. Drop top.
Is it a jungle safari game?
No, not the jungle safari game. Ran on Your Parade. That's what I was playing.
Okay.
I'm playing Ran on Your Parade three different ways right now, and I'm seeing the contrast between them. I was just invited to the Xbox Cloud Beta that has...
Congratulations.
I know, I just got a notification on my phone. They sent it... I mean, they better have, dude. I've been playing for fucking Xbox Live for the past, like, 17 years. Like, seriously.
They're looking at the list. They're like, is that Jordan Berry from Press X to Star Podcast?
You sound like DJ. When he didn't get his PS5 invite. God damn it. Please.
It's been 84 years.
No, I they sent me a notification through my Microsoft account, through my Outlook. Mm-hmm. They show me the website to log in. And yeah, I'm able to hook up my controller to my PC via Bluetooth, so I don't need to use the connector adapter. Thing that people can get.
Oh, that's awesome.
The adapter. Yeah. So I played Dirt 5, very pixely. You know, I think they're probably uploading it at maybe like 720 at best.
Oh.
So like you're gonna catch that on a 4K screen, the pixelization. Yeah. But playing the Rain on Your Parade game via cloud, there are some latency issues, but this is still the beta. But it played all right. It's the best way I can put it. And it was in browser too. You know, like that's about as best as I can get. So, but playing it on the Series X, to which is downloaded, you know, zero latency, you know, it's 1-to-1, you know. But I like it is interesting, like as I continue to explore the various ways I can play one game, but the unifying factor is that the progress I made, no matter if I play Rain on Your Parade on my phone, on my PC, or on my Series X, it's all uniform. Mm-hmm. Like that is like the main deciding factor on the, you know, popularity of Game Pass. One of the tenets is like I can go anywhere with my Xbox console experience in terms of saves.
Right.
But bumping up the resolution, I'd imagine that comes later.
It's just like the Stadia.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Stadia had to bow out because, you know, they Stadia had to.
Like, we're spending how much money?
Fuck out of here.
Oh, man.
But all right. Next up, Sean, what you been playing?
Yeah, for some reason, I decided to torture myself, so I started playing Demon Souls again.
Big old freak.
I don't know when, if ever, I'm going to finish this game because I looked at my stats last night and I've been playing it for about 8 hours and my power level is like a Souls level 21.
That's 21, 21, 21.
I don't know what that means exactly, but I know I probably should be higher.
Turns out the max level is 25.
I just got to a new boss, got my ass kicked, and just...
Sounds about right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's something called a Tower Knight. I think he come up to, like, his ankles.
Oh, my God. Oh, does he have a giant shield?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And anytime he slaps down his shield, there's splash damage, and it knocks you down, and it's just... It's a lot. It's a lot. I just realized that you can go to other worlds without beating the entire first world, which is strange. Like they say, this game explains nothing to you, so...
It's like life.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm trying to struggle through that until at least Returnal comes out. I guess by the time people are listening to this April 30th.
Yep.
I'm more than likely be streaming it. So keep a lookout for that.
I think I think I might be getting that too. I think I might do
No, 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 no. You're not allowed to, DJ. Shut up.
Oh, okay.
Returnal sounds like an Evanescence song. Returnal.
You know,
Returnal.
Depending on what you say about it, Sean, that might be my first PS5 purchase as well.
Okay.
Well, they say it's hard. I will say that. But it gets easier. It's kind of like some roguelikes have an inverse difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Where they let you know shit is real in the beginning, but it gets easier because you get, you know, more powered up and you understand how different item synergies work and all that good stuff. But we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Y'all can watch Friday night.
No, that's true. I've been watching previews on Returnal, and the previews is based off of like 5 hours or so of play. So it's not even like scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Then again, we don't know how long the actual story part of the game is. But people were 5.5 hours. People were saying how in terms of that game, you can just kind of skip, because I think in one of the previews they show like a house that you can enter in and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that was playing it, they said they found the house, but it was locked, so they needed the key. But they were also saying that the developers were telling them that you really could just skip that and just play the game all the way through and not really mess with the side content stuff. So
okay,
there is that. But when it comes to difficulty, some people did have issue with when you died, you only start back with your like pistol or something. And
I mean, that's what a roguelike is. So
yeah, exactly. But like some people were just saying how like they felt like the pistol might be a little underpowered or something. So we'll see if developers actually take that in account and actually do something.
More than likely than that. Most roguelikes, you're supposed to learn the mechanics of the game. You're going to retain some upgrades that you get throughout the game. But ultimately, most roguelikes, you're memorizing and mastering the mechanics of the game. You're not mastering this or that gun,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Or memorizing this level.
Right.
The gun's supposed to just facilitate you being good at the game.
Yes. I'm sure there's going to be somebody who beats the whole entire game with the starting gun, of course. upgrades. So, I mean,
it's bound to happen.
Yeah. But Marcus.
All right. Not much to add. I played Overwatch, and the only reason I'm going to bring up that is because yesterday, before going off to do a gig, I played a little Overwatch in the morning, and I linked up with Doug.
Mm. Oh.
And yeah, he is on the downturn of his current crazy caseload.
Yep.
So his schedule is going to be a little more freed up in the coming months, which is nice. He says he misses us all.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord willing, y'all will hear Doug's voice sometime in the near future.
Definitely.
I'm going to roll past his house and knock on his door.
And fun fact, the gig that I went to go do was for the same guy that did that video that blew me up in China.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yep.
Oh, shit.
Are you going to be in North Korea this time?
Who knows? I'm working with him again. Shout out to Chubby Emu. So I'm doing another one of those videos.
Does he have a real name, or is that like the name of his company? Like, what's happening there?
Bernard.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I didn't want to put the government out there just in case. But yeah. Be on the lookout for that.
Marcus Ellison is best, Ellison.
Look at our boy.
So yeah, that's it for me. So close it out, DJ.
So, in terms of games that I played, of course, you know, Gundam is the staple. That's the constant, mm-hmm. you know. It's mm-hmm. like the sun in the sky. It'll never go away. You might not see it at nighttime, but it's always there.
Trash game for trash people doing trash things. Keep going, DJ.
Is it a rising sun, DJ?
Oh, look at that. Yes, it is all the time, you know. But other than Japan. That... other than that, I... my time playing No Man's Sky has started to wane a little bit. I think why that's happening is because in that game, I've just saved a freight like starship, and the captain basically gave me the ship as a thank you. So now I have this giant freight ship that I literally take command of now.
Oh.
So I can have multiple spaceships. and I have more storage for like stuff that I amassed on the different planets. And I've hit that point where I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So like, I need to go and actually figure out how this stuff works, like how I should tackle this. Mm-hmm. So I just haven't really had the time to do that. So I've just kind of put that down. And I actually,
my man told the captain, hold on, let me check this wiki.
So, DJ, you actually reminded me just like real quick. Mm-hmm. I played Elite Dangerous, which is the space sim version of No Man's Sky. And
the space sim version of No Man's Sky, which is a space sim.
That's the best way I can put it. Yeah. Like, essentially, I'm a space postage, like mailman. Oh. But it's very...
Oh, it's Death Stranding.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's like I'm mining, you know, I'm transporting packages and dignitaries and stuff like that. But the challenge is like there's a lot of mathematics in travel. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. I'm in hyperspace, but if I fuck up the calculation, I'm smashing into that planet.
Oh.
So like, in mid hyperspace, I start noticing I'm coming in too fast. Computers like slow down. And then I'm like trying to, like, I'm smashing all the buttons to slow the fuck down. And I go straight past the son of a bitch. 2 light years later, I'm trying to bank the fucker around like a Lincoln Cadillac. You know, like that is Elite Dangerous, essentially, in one thing. It's just me zipping past planets. I don't know simple math. Like, just, that's what that
is. Oh, that's awesome. So when it comes to No Man's Sky, like, It's one of those things where I'm just like, okay, I need to do some research. And then on top of that, the one thing that I love about the game is that it makes it very clear that you are a traveler and these are aliens that you're interacting with. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually learn their language. So the
alien... So you gotta do Duolingo?
Like Triolingo.
Gleep Glorp. Right.
So like...
DJ, just force them to learn English. It's that easy.
As it should be. So like, even during that exchange, when I was talking to the guy, I'm just gonna assume that's a guy because he didn't have...
They... Just say they.
I mean,
yeah, I'm gonna say they. I'm gonna say
they. Is there
a
check
because
button?
Like there's
they.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Anyways, when I was talking to them, I could only parse like maybe 5 or 6 words out of the like 3 sentences that he told me, or that they told me, and
that's
it was just
impressive.
Yeah, and it was just like, all right, and it just said accept the offer or decline. I was like, I'll accept the offer.
Aren't you able to upgrade your language translator or something like that?
Yes, yes.
So why didn't you upgrade your language translator?
Well, because I didn't have the resources.
He's a trash person.
Yeah, like just you double back. You, it's the game telling you that, all right, you can run the risk by accepting a crazy ass contract, or you put in the work to improve your resources.
Well, that work is difficult, and that work requires talking to other aliens of the same race. So I,
oh, so you just don't want to talk to people different of your race, DJ?
You know
my
what? You know
God.
What? Let's actually let me talk about that real quick.
Go back to your own galaxy, you Gleep Glorps.
DJ out here being a bigot.
Let me tell you about that. It's actually really interesting system that No Man's Sky developed in terms of learning languages, because you could talk to someone, and if you talk to someone, you have the opportunity of testing out your language, your knowledge of words against them and see what happens, or you can learn and you can learn a word from that alien, right? So there's 3 factions of aliens in No Man's Sky, and they all react differently to different types of words. So the first faction you run into are the Gek, and they're like kind of short looking creatures. They're pretty much like easy to talk to. They can kind of say stuff and they'll generally be happy. And if they're happy, they'll give you like a reward or something and basically help you learn their language or help you progress through the loose story of No Man's Sky.
Gek sounds like a slur.
The other faction, one's a robot faction. I forget their name. And the other faction's like a warrior class faction.
The Beep Boops.
But with the warrior faction, it's interesting because at first I was talking to them in the same way that I was talking to the Gek. So I was, you know, talking about technology. I was talking about trade. I was talking about travel. And they just wasn't interested in that, to the point where I was actually losing reputation points with that race. And I was just like, What? I don't understand what's going on. So I ended up just...
He a sucker. He ain't trying to ride on nobody.
Right? No, that's the thing that like...
He don't want no smoke.
That's exactly. So I ended up changing, like, I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll be aggressive with them. And so I just started saying like blood and like death and stuff. And they were like, yeah, yeah, we fucked with that. And I'm like, what the hell? All right.
This nigga's all right. Right?
This nigga's cool. Spitting.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, like, that's been, like, really fun to play around with in No Man's Sky and to kind of see, like, how things are built out that way. The other game that I played very shortly was Fall Guys. I jumped into this because...
Trash game for a trash person.
I jumped into this mainly to see like what the season 4 stuff was, because it looked really cool on the face of it, so I wanted to play those games. And I guess what they did was just put those season 4 games in the rotation of the rest of the games, because I played like maybe 3 or 4 games and none of them was season 4 games. So I was just like, what's happening here? So I just turned it off and played Gundam.
Makes sense. Been full circle for no reason.
Trash begets trash. Well, now that we've talked about what we've been playing, we are going to direct you to our YouTube channel, because by the time this episode comes out, we will have had our Falcon and the Winter Soldier ramble review, and possibly our Mortal Kombat ramble review. So we've got some content coming up soon. So please check out our YouTube channel, like and subscribe, and follow us on our other socials.
And to get to our YouTube channel easily, you go to pressxnumber2start.com/YouTube. Easy as that.
It sounds like you're lying, but I believe you. All right. Quit
hating. Subscribe to us, nigga.
No, really, do it.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, at Instagram at PressX2Start, and Twitter, PressX2S. And now, on our YouTube page at PressX2StartTV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. And now, it's time for the crickets.
Number one, this comes from comicbook.com. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales has already outsold The Last of Us, which is... Wow. Crazy.
I mean, that's not hard to believe. Yeah, it's more palatable. It's more family friendly.
Well, I mean, like, it's also a bigger franchise, too.
Spider-Man is like at least top 3 most marketable superheroes in the world. Right. So,
but if anything about it, 12 months.
Yeah, okay. I was like, are you going to say something or should I start reading?
Yeah, just start reading.
12 months ending March 2021, top 10 games. Miles Morales is 5th, and The Last of Us Part 2 is 7th.
So they're both high up there.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah, respectable.
Right. So, keeping on the same Spider-Man web train, number 2, this comes from Venture. Spider-Man Miles Morales sales performance is great for PS5 owners. So the web-slinging adventure continues to sell in the top 5 in the US each month, and its sales performance is so impressive that it can have an effect on Sony's PlayStation 5 software strategy.
Yeah, we talked about it, and we didn't include that specific article, you know, for time constraints. But yeah, I mean, Sony was very upfront that they're going to double down on the AAA development focus, and like they don't have to move anywhere with that.
Right.
So yeah, Spider-Man, as an add-on, like this game was an add-on to a core property, still gaining them a high yield and profit. Those like 40, but those $20 less, still like made them tons of money.
Which means Miles had better be a big part of the next Spider-Man game that they do.
Oh yeah.
And just to tack onto this, I feel like this strategy of release tentpole game, release a small game that also becomes a tentpole game, and then release a sequel, I think we might see that with Ghost of Tsushima. Because I think last week we covered news about them hiring someone for multiplayer. I think that's going to be a similar strategy that they employ.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Number three, this comes from NME. I'm not sure what that stands for, but it sounds
enemy.
Spicy. Oh, enemy.
No Man's Earth.
No Man's Earth. PS5 confirmed to have CMOS battery failure issue. I don't know what this is, but it sounds scary.
Well, it's in the description issue.
Yeah, yeah. So PlayStation 5's, Jordan, your thing's okay there. PlayStation 5 appears to have the same COMS battery issue found in the PS4, which stops players accessing digital games in the event of a failure. Oh, that sounds horrible. Sean seems very shocked by that. Sean, you're muted.
I'm appalled and shocked. No, my wife was talking to me.
Is it just Cosmos?
No.
CMOS? Is that?
CMOS. Oh, okay. But once again, another proponent of why I'm against digital games.
Oh,
there are so many ways you can lose your purchases. Oh. Mm.
But your house can burn down and you won't have physical games.
What the fuck? DJ? Do I need to take out fire insurance?
I'm surprised you don't have more fire insurance.
But like this number one, in regards to this story, it's not a widespread issue. It's only in the very unlikely event that it occurs. And if it does occur, that's a problem that you encounter. Regardless, PlayStation had come out in a subsequent story that they are working on it. And I imagine a firmware update occurring sometime down the line, but it's not this is no fucking Three Red Rings of Death type shit. Like,
it's not
that at all.
Mm. So a CMOS battery is a component of the PS5's hardware. It allows the system to retain key information even when it's not powered on.
Mm.
One of the consequences of this battery failing is limited access to digital games. Yeah.
This is the type of shit that used to be in 16-bit cartridges to retain your game saves, like a Final Fantasy or a
I wonder if the CMOS thing impacts that random message I get when I don't turn my PlayStation on. Like, the same thing with the PS4 after a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not supposed to improperly turn it off, like, that message.
Oh,
that I would see. I wonder if that's a part of, like, the same infrastructure.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that's an issue, but that's a message I would see, like, even though it hadn't been turned on properly, you know.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So number four, this comes from Press Square. Uncharted Lost Legacy director Sean.
Hey, go ahead and say it. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Rejoined Naughty Dog. Awesome. So Sean, the director on the critically acclaimed spinoff Uncharted Lost Legacy, has joined Naughty Dog. The industry veteran left The Last of Us maker to lead development on Marvel's Avengers. Oh, my
God. Got the fuck out of there.
But has announced on Twitter today that he's returned to the kennel as a creative director and writer.
Because we had a story about him probably a couple weeks ago. Like, this might be the same guy that left Marvel and said it was in good hands.
Right.
Whatever the fuck that means. He's like, bye.
He's like, y'all, God bless. Right. But this leads me to think that the future of Uncharted might be with
those characters in Legacy.
With Chloe.
You
know, I think that they're going to be pushing forward with more Uncharted with those characters.
What if it's smart decision. What if it's Chloe and possibly Nadine, but like Chloe and Nate's daughter.
Cassie?
Is it Cassie?
I think it's Cassie.
I think you're right. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, but well, I think that Chloe, at the very least, is going to be a big part of the future of Uncharted. And this is indicative of that.
I'm more than confident we'll be getting the Uncharted movie before the new game. We'll see how that...
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah. All right, so this number five. So this comes from Pure Xbox. Here's a look at the new Quick Resume feature on Xbox Series X. You can quickly remove a game from Quick Resume if you want to. This is something the community has been requesting ever since the console's launch in this past November. So it's great to see it's finally introduced. So, Jordan, you got any experience with this?
I love Quick Resume. Mm. I jump between a core set of games. I turn my console off for an extended period of time. And I'm able to jump back in right into it. Like, play, you know, racing games. You know, like leave mid-race and come back.
Oh, that's wild.
That's really cool. Yeah,
like just, you know it's a quality of life thing. That's all it is.
I'm hoping that they didn't. I mean, I wouldn't blame them, but I'm hoping they didn't like patent this or like trademark it. Like, that would be something I'd love to come to PlayStation. Yeah, you can start up games quickly, but
yeah,
it's not the same thing. And
I don't think PlayStation will be able to do that. I think that's more of a hardware thing than a software thing. Like, because
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I would imagine like maybe if they do like a PS5 Pro or something, that could be.
I mean,
a thing.
It's software saving to the RAM. So, I mean, I don't see why they couldn't do a save state. But I mean, like, I know some game developers have patented some things, like the Mass Effect dialogue wheel. That's patented.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The Shadow of War or whatever, Mordor shit. Nemesis system is patented. Yeah. Things like that. So I really hope it's, you know, Sony can find some workaround.
The SNES joypad or the SNES directional pad is bad.
Yeah, the D-pad. Mm-hmm. That's why the Xbox 360 D-pad was trash for so long until it came out with the whatever the Pro controller is.
But like it just likens the Series X more to a PC, though. Even though I have a very strong PC and I'm able to, you know, see how much of the GPU is being utilized, memory and stuff like that.
Okay, flex.
I'm not going to try to run Dishonored and Fallout 4 at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable doing. I could, but I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
While on the Series X, it just does it. Like that's the thing here. Like it's made to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number six, this comes from TechRadar. Square Enix confirms it's part of E3 2021 lineup.
What are y'all excited to see from them?
Final Fantasy VII Episode 2 Integrate Remix 720.
It's going to be a bunch of Final Fantasy.
Kingdom Hearts.
Extended Edition.
Probably that Kingdom Hearts DLC, right? Aren't they being DLC for Kingdom Hearts 3?
Are they?
I want to see nothing from Kingdom Hearts. What I mainly want to see is more of Final Fantasy 16.
Forspoken.
I want to see more
Forspoken, right? Forsaken for
more foreskin. I mean,
foreskin. Disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely have stuff to show. It's going to be Final Fantasy show all day, but Maybe if they're working on something new, that'd be cool to see. But yeah, definitely Forsaken as well.
Do you think?
See.
Yeah.
Forspoken.
Is it Forspoken?
Yes.
Oh,
see,
you're right.
Such a weird ass name.
But then again, it's Square Enix. They cornered the market on weird names.
Mm-hmm.
What's next story, DJ?
So that'd be interesting. So they said they're gonna be part of the E3 2021 lineup. Okay, so that's cool. Just making sure they're not doing any like silly stuff where like, yeah, we're going to be putting out announcements around E3.
No,
right.
They're going to be a part of the 2020.
That's E3. Good. That's just another domino that falls, and the other ones need to do the same, including Sony.
Speaking of dominoes falling,
this comes from The Verge. Overwatch director Jeff Kaplan has left Blizzard.
That's not good.
Yes, exactly. This is scary. This is very scary to see that the face of Overwatch has left the company making Overwatch. And listening to this story, a lot of people are trying not to panic about this because a lot of people are like, oh, maybe he's just like, you know, I'm done with games or, you know, maybe we'll see what he's doing next kind of thing. But it's just like... In a vacuum, it's very easy to be like, yeah, you know, maybe he's just tired. He's just like the leadership or whatever. But like
the optics.
Well, because remember, fucking Activision, they were bought by Tencent, and Tencent did a bunch of has been doing a bunch of fuck shit for the past 3 years since they purchased them. Like going back to the censorship of players and stuff like that. So yeah, like Tencent is a scary company that I am very anxious about because I know that Activision will not be the last major publisher that they get their hands on.
Oh, absolutely not.
Outside of the Tencent of it all, I was talking to Avery about this, and there are really two reasons as to why Jeff Kaplan would have left at this stage of Overwatch 2's development. Mm-hmm. One, there is a problem with Overwatch 2 that Jeff Kaplan can't fix.
Hmm.
Or two, they are so far along in the development and everything is fine that he's just like, all right, it's been 19 years. I think I can bow out. But usually when heads of companies or head developers leave a company, it's usually after the game is already out.
It's after it's launched.
Yeah.
And it's, like, successful. So, yeah, like I definitely think this is a thing where Activision is pushing Blizzard to make choices that Jeff does not support. And he basically is putting distance between him and that game before it launches.
So what they're saying is we need more white people in Overwatch.
We need to have the people pay us more money to play the game.
Yeah, I don't think Tencent's super hype about the lost income of a popular property.
Yeah, especially since Overwatch 2 was announced in late 2019.
Yeah,
and it's 2021, and we really haven't seen. Actually, we saw some stuff last year about.
We've seen pockets.
Yeah,
and they've been like, you know, 30-40 whatever minute pockets, but mm-hmm. still it's not a lot that we have seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the grand scheme of things.
We'll see though. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Number 8. This comes from Kotaku. Report. Microsoft no longer in talks to buy Discord. So, Microsoft initially considered buying the popular chat and community platform for a figure north of $10 billion.
Lord,
but it wasn't the only interested buyer. Per journal sources, Discourse fielded conversations from at least three companies before entering exclusive talks with Microsoft, meaning those other companies were SOL.
Mm. So I remember we first reported on this story back in March when I think it might have been Jez or Jeff that came out with like the speculation, mm-hmm. credible speculation that they were going to try to purchase them. And it would have, like, people were bringing a reason that Microsoft was looking for that inter-platform communication app.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've noticed was, like, when I play with my friends on PS5 with Outriders, I am, you know, using the PlayStation app through my phone, though I wish there was a more integrated app that allows me to speak to people on other devices. That was on my Xbox Series X that I can communicate with them to PS5. Like, you know, I might be playing games with y'all. Like, I could totally get Zombie 4. Like, that's on Game Pass right now, and mm-hmm. play with y'all on my Series X with it.
Mm-hmm.
But
is it crossplay?
Yes. Yeah, well, I believe Zombie 4 is crossplay. I'll look it up later. But in that possible, like, I would probably say that Back 4 Blood would be the next big crossplay game coming out. Mm.
If Microsoft had purchased Discord, it doesn't necessarily mean they would have allowed it to go on the PlayStation to make it an easier way to talk cross-platform.
Exactly. And like
Zombie Army 4 isn't crossplay, by the way.
That speaks to like how these purchases can go. Like, you know, if the company that wants to be purchased is interested mm-hmm. in a company that's purchasing them or whatever agreements that might be set up down the line, then they're going to say no. And Discord was one of those situations to which the way they viewed themselves or their future kind of superseded like the need for them to be purchased by a large entity.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, the other entities are most likely Google and Amazon, if I were to put a finger on it, as those interested in purchasing it. So. But as I said in the chat, that means that Microsoft has $10 billion just sitting
around
there to be spent on something else, you know? And
which means they're going to buy Sony.
I was like, well, I think Discord wanted $10 billion, but Microsoft only wanted to spend $7 or something like
No, Discord was valued at $7 billion. Microsoft was offering up $10 billion. That was the advanced portion. Then in reality, like you know, when I talked to DJ in the chat about this, like about, you know, Bethesda being quote-unquote undervalued or overvalued, the $7 billion for Bethesda was the right amount because Bethesda was valued for $3 billion. They're asking for their $3 billion valuation, which is operational costs, development costs, technologies that they own in terms of their net worth as a company, plus the $3 billion that whatever entity, that being ZeniMax, requested in the original valuation. So they got $3 billion in profit. So Microsoft had to pay $7 billion. In this case, Microsoft would have put up $14 billion for Discord because their valuation was $7 billion if they want to make a one-to-one profit.
Oh.
So that's the thing. So maybe Discord may have felt lowballed. You know, I don't know.
Interesting.
You got to keep in mind how valuable people's information is. Look at Facebook. Look at Google. Right.
But it was close.
All I'm saying is that Press X to Start is willing to accept that $7 billion.
Right.
And we'll do whatever the fuck you want, Microsoft. Do I have a shave on cam? Fuck, let's do it.
Shave what on cam?
You know what I fucking mean.
Wait, on camera or on cam?
Exactly what I... That's exactly what I was getting at.
You know what the fuck I mean. All right,
what's the next story, TJ?
Oh, one last thing before we leave this whole discourse thing.
Discourse about Discord.
The other part of the whole Discord chat was, you know, maybe Discord might be thinking about going public. So with Microsoft not buying them, there's still a chance that it can go public. So if you are into stocks, you like trading stocks, watch for that because that will be a very big one.
True.
So there's that. Number nine, this comes from Pure Xbox. Xbox Series X controller supports rolls out on iOS next week. Well, that's this week. If you're hearing this, then the rollout has probably already happened.
Yeah, it says commencing April 26th. So yeah, Monday the 26th.
Oh, nice. So iOS 14.5 has been in extended beta testing. Jesus, cycle. Oh my gosh.
You having difficulties there?
I'm gonna take a breath.
This one, DJ.
You take it. I'm gonna get me some water right here.
iOS 4.5 has been in an extended beta testing cycle, but will finally be made public on the week commencing April 26th. According to a report back in February, Xbox Series X controller support for iPhones and iPads has been in beta for a while, and TechRadar has listed a full set of new features, citing Xbox Series X controller support as one of them. So it took them about like a month for them to roll it out, which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use other controllers?
Yes, yes. You can use your Bluetooth, your Xbox controller with it.
Oh, I mean like PlayStation or Stadia controllers.
I don't know. You can give it a shot. Like,
I know you can use the Razer Kishi. So I'm wondering.
Here, I thought Xbox was for the people. You telling me I can't use my PS5 controller to play Xbox games?
Xbox Game Pass.
Devices.
Break that shit down. Using your PS5 controller to play an Xbox app on a goddamn iPhone.
Makes sense to me.
You wish.
That's a threesome I support.
Disgusting.
All right, next up, number 10, this comes from The Gamer. Xbox Game Pass now has more than 23 million active subscribers.
Whew.
Hey.
The last time they checked the number, it was 18 million back in January 2020, and that was an increase of 15 million within that fall. Like, mathematically, there's exponential growth, to which like 1.5% growth between January and April, which is the same amount of time between September and December. So between September and December, it was 3 million. Between January and April, it was 5 million.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay. Again, this just spits in the face of Sony, Jim Ryan especially, talking about we don't think Game Pass is beneficial or whatever he said. It's just like
the main flashpoints was Outriders. Like there were clear flashpoints within that, but if Outriders is an expression of the philosophy behind Game Pass to get day one first party and third party games,
yeah,
then it will continue to grow in that direction.
Yeah. And then I was listening to the Jeff Grubb podcast today, and on there he was talking about, like, I think he said something like he can see Game Pass probably hitting like 30-35 million by the end of the year, especially if Halo comes out. And
oh, for sure,
Halo will be, you know, on Game Pass. So that's a big number, man. That's a lot of money that they're making off of a subscription model that Sony definitely can do, but they just don't.
But will they
do it? Nope, they won't. Number 11. This comes from Video Game Chronicles. Sony looks to announce. Speaking of which.
You see, no way. You see, I ordered the story.
Yep.
Yeah. So you do not order your stories right.
So here's the thing, right? I actually saw that you did this before. I completely forgot. So Sony looks to announce PlayStation Plus Video Pass, not Game Pass, but Video Pass. What the fuck are you doing, Sony?
All the movies you can watch, kids.
Oh, Venom. You can watch over and over and over again.
Venom.
Ha ha ha!
You know what? Hey, if you get Video Pass and they would have an app on your Sony console that allows that to play when you turn it on, sign me up.
If you get PlayStation Plus Video Pass, you're a damn fool if you already have Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Crack, man.
I mean, some people want to consolidate.
No,
that's not even consolidate.
You can consolidate these nuts.
Right. I have a sobering take on Sony Video Pass. This is fine in terms of how this can be a base, like a baseline into something better down the line. Like Sony does have a better movie, like Microsoft doesn't have a movie suite, but they are a company with an established movie suite, which is peaks and valleys, but there is content there that people would want to see made by Sony. Like Monster Hunter, you know, putting that day one on this Sony Video Pass service,
they might get negative subscribers.
I'm fine with that. But if there's a world to which Sony has a comparative quote unquote value to Game Pass, but also have the extra benefit of a movie, you know, Crunchyroll anime suite attached to it, then
because Sony does technically own anime in America at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. As much as I poke fun at this, I think there is very much so good potential with this. But I look at this with the same kind of like, you know, side eye that I looked at Kinect when that released for Microsoft, where there was potential for that, but it just didn't yield anything. And I feel like I see why they're setting this up. They're setting this up because they know that they're gonna have The Last of Us show or whatever, they're gonna have the Spider-Man, they're gonna have Uncharted, like they're gonna have stuff they can put on this.
Yeah, but, so it's preemptive.
Yeah, but like again, I just feel like this is a move by Sony being in first place. But yeah. This is a place. I see what you did there. This is a move of Sony when they're in first place and they think that they have the game side covered and like
they
all
have
right,
high ground.
Yeah, like we can expand now. And then the only thing that happens is that they realize, oh no, people are coming for our throats. And the fact that we took our eyes off of the game side, we need to go back to that and we need to X out this other shit. And it's just like, just focus on the games. That's why people are buying your goddamn consoles, for the games, dude. Just stick with that.
I mean, they're doubling down on their AAAs. I mean, we'll see.
Well, you know what? We're going to get to that in a heavy hitter in 1 second. So I'll let you, if you want to read the other content, because like I have something like that's going to pony a lot of what's being said.
Okay.
But if you want to go to A and B.
So just to talk about the article, Sony's making significant efforts to amalgamate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's video games and movie offerings. PlayStation Production was formed in 2019 by Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt its original game properties for film and TV. Sony slashed PlayStation Now prices in October 2019 in a bid to be more competitive with rival streaming services, and also began adding blockbuster games each month, which are available for a limited time. For me, I'm hoping, because actually part of what I'm going to say is going along with our heavy hitters, but I'm hoping we see Sony make a real move with PlayStation Now come E3 time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that. I don't see that happening, but I hope that.
Well, it requires intentionality. Game Pass came out in spring 2017. People were confused.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I just saw these Danny McBride commercials and like, what is this? Like, you know, what is this, Gamefly? Because Gamefly was probably still a thing back then.
Jesus, Gamefly.
But it's like, it wasn't articulated well. But then as time progressed and you got the right people, because like what Game Pass's strength is there are like four individuals that are really pushing it forward. One in the ecosystem and partnership side,
mm-hmm.
one on the technology side, one as the figurehead, and you know, one as like the core ecosystem. You know, like there's four main people that are very upfront, that are very active Twitter-wise, in explaining its benefit. So Sony needs to have like that same cadre. And also they added a Netflix guy to the fold, the guy, the former executive at Netflix. Yeah. So like it requires a tremendous amount of intentionality. You can't make it overnight.
That's true.
It's the best way I can put it.
That's true.
Well, now that we talked about our quick hits and we're already kind of dipping into our heavy hitters, it's time for the heavy hitters.
Jordan, I gave it to you.
I want to wipe the smile. I'm going to try to wipe the smile. I'm going to say this.
maybe we shouldn't give it to Jordan.
Sony, I mean, like, this is literally the article says. Sony admits it made the wrong decision and will keep PS3 Vita store open. And it's just like, Jim Ryan, quote, you made the wrong decision here.
Yep.
You know, I'm not trying to say full on BP oil spill. I'm sorry. But just succinctly, we made the wrong decision. Sony announced that it will be keeping its PS3 and PlayStation Vita digital store open for the foreseeable future. This is in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
The PSP store, on the other hand, will shut down by July. So sorry for you PSP people. You know, F in the chat. Sony had originally announced that the digital storefronts for its legacy consoles will be shut down at the end of March, making it impossible for customers to purchase digital copies of games for those systems. And this hurt people two ways. Those, and like, actually, the fighting community was the loudest, like the most vocal, seeing that Sony was a bigger stakeholder in EVO and all that stuff.
Right.
The fighting community had many weird, fucked up, you know, silly ass fighting game, Japanese only titles on PS3's storefront that were about to be lost. But additionally, this would have hurt the developers too, because what would have led to was piracy.
Yep.
And piracy is dangerous. Like, piracy puts people's PCs or their personal information in danger. Developers don't see any part of the transaction money wise, and this just felt like it was a money focused move. Like, there was no true reason. Okay, Sony's like, well, we don't have enough money to maintain the store. I'm like, fucking fold it in.
Yeah,
you know, like, why are you gonna punish people because you're trying to save a dollar? You know, like, it's beyond legacy and whether or not you want to play old games. Like, it's not even quality of life. It is a justice conversation, like fairness between the company and consumers. But that's what I had to say.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, just to add on to that, like, the fact that for me, when I looked at this, I was of two minds. One, oh, this is great. People can go back and you know, get their content or get the stuff that they want from these storefronts. So that's good that it stays open. On the other side, I'm like, what the fuck? So you're telling me Sony, Jim Ryan literally made this decision and didn't think of the community at all?
We don't know that it was his decision. We don't know that.
We'll say, you're right. We'll say PlayStation. PlayStation made this decision and didn't think of the community at all. Didn't even do like surveys or something to figure out like, oh, wait, is this actually?
They more than likely did. We have no idea. We're talking from a casual consumer side.
The amount of backlash, like whatever survey would have went out, probably would have had some type of representation.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Only places insiders are talking to.
All right, look, guys. They asked me. I told them shut that shit down. I'm not buying anything.
On record, Sean is one of the insiders. Like, he's one of the representatives.
No, you're not wrong.
Shut that shit down.
More PS5 on the double.
They went exclusively to Sean. Sean was like, man, look, I don't know. You keep asking me for this stuff, okay? I don't know.
Hey, you know what I did?
What'd you do? We defer all decision making to Sean and Frost.
I could imagine like Jim Ryan's like on a computer, like behind like there's like this giant 10-foot television of like these people like faceless heads, and like it shows like Sean MF Ross is one of the faceless figures like advising him.
Do it.
Shut that shit down.
Hey, that's like the council with Nick Fury.
Shut it down.
No, honestly, more than likely, if you wanted it on PS3, PSP, PS Vita, whatever, you would have bought it already. That was more than likely their decision. We're two console generations out, and sales are probably so low if you wanted it already, you had it, and they weren't stopping you from re-downloading anything that you previously purchased.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where Sony was most likely just looking at the numbers and just looking at the fact that, oh, this isn't making us money, so we should probably fold the stuff we're paying for this into making more AAA, or supporting the AAAs better. But by doing that, they're not reading the room. They're not reading the fact that Xbox is literally on the opposite side of this, ensuring that these games, these old games, are available to the consumers and last for as long as Xbox can keep it up. But like, it's one of those things for me that all this stuff that we're seeing, it does not look good for Jim Ryan. And I feel like it's going to, we're going to probably, well, we actually, let me take that back. We probably won't see anything, but I'm pretty sure there are conversations and stuff happening in the back end where PlayStation is having conversation with itself, like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we're getting hit with all this negative press. We are on top, yes, but we're getting hit with all this negative press that eventually it will get back to us. And we have to change.
For all we know, they could have been working to get that library into PlayStation Now, but they're just horrible at announcing
I mean, like, I understand you're giving them the benefit of the doubt, but this article's pretty, like, succinct here. Like, I don't think there was a plan B to this.
No.
I think, like, they he's literally saying we made the wrong decision.
Right.
Like, the, I don't think there was a step two to, oh, we're going to fold this into the store that exists on the PS4 and PS5.
Yeah.
This is the same guy that's very much so, we are a company of generations.
Yeah.
Like, this falls into that same narrative that
generations, man.
If every iteration of PlayStation is its solid state, it's a solid state experience.
Yeah.
So, and this is like, people are like, no, like, what do you mean if PS3 sucks?
And one last thing before we jump to the next. I had made a comment that, like, you know, being optimistic, thinking like, okay, well, maybe since they are shutting down these stores, they're actually going to put this in PS Now and make this a big package. But to see, basically, to go on what Jordan is saying, to see that Jim Ryan came out and said, no, we just made the wrong decision. It's just like, oh, no, they were planning on just X-ing all this shit out and just being like, that's it. You don't get this shit anymore.
Some games made for legend.
Yeah. The thing is, it's one of those things where I was listening to, I think it was Podcast Beyond. They, mind you, that's an IGN outlet podcast. And when they were talking about the PlayStation stores going away, they were like, well, I guess the only thing you can do is pirate the games. And it's just like, for the fact that, like, that is the option, that just sounds and looks so bad. So it's just like,
about to be a bunch of pirates on the open waters tonight, boy.
So yeah, like, I mean, PlayStation pretty much had to make this move just to, like, recoup some of their image. Even though they're on top, which is wild, that they still have to make these defensive moves.
Mm.
But I mean, Returnal's coming out soon, so that's, you know.
And Sean, take it away for the last heavy hitter before we close it out.
All right, so this is coming from purexbox.com. PlayStation is exchanging ideas with Xbox for its cloud gaming strategy.
Jim Ryan on his apology tour.
Well, I mean, this was announced back in mid-2019 where they said they were going to use Azure and Azure AI. Yeah, to help deliver new gaming and entertainment experiences. It's going to be a while before we actually see how they're going to implement this or what this even means.
The language used, like, for the overall experience be uniquely and only on PlayStation does reiterate that PlayStation ain't going to see no Bethesda game. Like, that same type of ecosystem mentality of, we're going to have this quote-unquote PlayStation app or PlayStation game app or whatever. It's going to be like this weird dance of cloud and streaming over, like, that's going to be the theme of this generation, essentially. Like, how much opportunity are you going to give gamers, not just in terms of payment option, but also accessibility?
It's weird seeing this, because I'm just taken back to, so I guess Gaikai was just a bust, right? Because
Gaikai and Now were purchased by PlayStation and they became PlayStation Now.
Yeah, but wasn't Gaikai doing the same streaming? Wasn't that a streaming service?
Yeah,
they were, but like that's what I'm using, stream and subscriptions in the same conversation. Mm-hmm. They were a streaming service, but in terms of the content on it, was not as robust as you'd want it to be based on the quality of the streaming too.
Right.
So you have these streaming services that are utilizing cloud technologies, you know, be it Stadia, be it Xbox Game Pass. It's all about the robustness of the content behind the platform. Like that's that is what it is.
Yeah.
Like Gaikai wasn't buying no fucking Bethesda. They were probably probably only worth like
they were hoping to get bought.
Yeah.
Pick me.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll see what comes from this. It's one of those things where maybe we do get a Xbox or I guess a PlayStation cloud service. Yeah. Maybe they just use this technology to do something more with PlayStation now. I think it's a possibility that we hear something about their strategy come E3 around E3
time. Yeah.
Well, maybe on this subject, I would expect E3 next year.
You think so?
I don't think it's going to be that soon for them to announce anything cloud related.
Yeah, they said they're still having conversations with Microsoft, so and exchanging.
Like,
ideas,
can we get your password, Microsoft? Microsoft's like, yeah.
Right.
But can we get that? Can we get that credit card number?
I got some Fortnite V-Bucks to buy.
PlayStation out here buying a whole bunch of money on Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, until then, when we see what comes from those things, this has been another episode of Press X Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps and also like and subscribe on our YouTube and Instagram channels. Do it.
Yeah.
In case you miss any of this, you can find any of these details and more on our website at PressX2Start.com. And if you feeling spicy, you can go to PressX2Start.com/YouTube. And again, like and subscribe there. Do it. Do it. Do it. Well, with that being said, we are out. And make sure you watch our Mortal Kombat and our Falcon Winter Soldier reviews, because do it.
Yes.
All right.
Winner out.
Peace.
Later.